Here's a question for you. What is it that you have hidden in your heart? What kind of skeletons are in your closet? Because here's the truth. Some of us are carrying prisoners in our hearts. Prisoners who are caged behind the bars of unforgiveness. In your heart, you still haven't forgiven Sarah for that comment, even though it's been months since you saw her. In your heart, you still have Jack in a jail of unforgiveness, even though you graduated from college 10 years ago. Yes, indeed. Some of us have many skeletons from yesteryear hidden away. However, let me tell you the worst type of skeleton you could hide in your heart. The worst thing to hide within your heart is sin. A hidden sin? Unrepented sin? A behind-the-closed-doors type of sin? Dare I say the sin you enjoy the most is usually the one you hide the best. But my dear friends, do not, I repeat, do not mock the Lord. He is not on our level. We can't pull a fast one over the Creator. Here's what the Amplified Translation for Luke 12, verse 2 and 3 says. But there is nothing so carefully concealed that it will not be revealed, nor so hidden that it will not be made known. For that reason, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. So you can have skeletons hidden in the closet of your heart. You can keep hundreds of people caged up in prisons. Prisons of jealousy, prisons of lust, prisons of unforgiveness. You can carefully conceal them all you like, and the FBI will never know about it. Your pastor will never suspect a thing. Your family won't have a clue. But hear me when I say this. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good in all their endeavors. So, what happens if you choose to hide your sin? What happens when you tolerate that sin for so long that you begin to water it down and call it a guilty pleasure? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." That's a powerful verse because, as humans, we can sometimes be immature and ignorant to think that just because we've been able to hide and conceal our sins from friends and family, we mistakenly think that we can do it to God, too. However, trying to hide sin from God is like running away from your shadow. You can't do it. You cannot hide a thing from the Lord. You can't run away from Him because He knows everything. Your family and friends might not know about your secret sin, but God knows. So I encourage you to clear out your closet, remove all skeletons, and get them out of your heart. They do more harm to you than you could do to them. And if you're asking the question, how do I clear my closet and remove skeletons? Well, you begin by confessing that very thing. Put it on the altar and repent of that sin. The Amplified Translation of Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy." The Bible says that anyone who conceals his transgressions, in other words, anyone who hides his or her sins, will not prosper. Now, perhaps you're not where you want to be in life, and you're asking questions like, what's blocking my success? What's blocking my family from progressing and elevating? What's blocking my business? Well, the Bible tells you here in Proverbs 28, verse 13, that if you conceal your transgressions, you will not prosper. But whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy. If you hide your sins, you will not prosper. Too many of us are so quick to jump and point fingers at the devil. We're quick to rebuke Satan when in actual fact, some of our problems are down to us concealing our transgressions. Sometimes it's not the devil pulling you back. It's that unconfessed sin. Sometimes it's not a demon blocking your progress, it's you trying to keep God on one side of your heart and keep your sin on the other side. You see,
the best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/EYL or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/EYL.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I love God's word because it's multifaceted. There are layers upon layers of depth. And for this problem of hidden sins, the solution is also provided by the same scripture. Read Proverbs 28 verse 13 once again and you'll see what I mean. The Bible says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy." Confess and turn away from your sins, from your hidden sins, and you'll find compassion and mercy. That's the solution. If you confess and turn away from the things hidden in your closet, and you will find compassion and mercy. If you confess and turn away from the skeletons in your heart, and you'll find compassion and mercy. So, let them go, whoever they are. Whatever they did to you, let them go. Don't continue to keep prisoners in your heart. Don't continue to have people in cages. Release them and repent. We as children of God are called to forgive. We are called to walk in the light. Scripture says, "You are to be holy because I am holy." So I encourage you to clear out your closet. Deep clean your heart with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not enough room for God and all the prisoners from your past. Pray for healing if you must. Pray for the Lord to give you the grace and ability to simply let go. Let go of every skeleton, every person, every pain and hurt, because it profits you nothing to hold on to it. Instead, you should really be clearing out your heart so that there is plenty of room for Jesus Christ to fill you. And you should allow him to. There will certainly be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit over your life.
We live in a stressful world. There are worries about wars, elections, and pandemics. On a personal level, there are worries about jobs, children, marriages, and money. In fact, the American Medical Association has estimated that as many as 70% of all patients visiting their general practice physicians do so with symptoms related in some way to unrelieved stress. But God has a better way for us to live, a burden-free way. Here is how Jesus put it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus offers us a burden-free way to live. Isn't that good news? Some people have the idea that God wants them weighed down with guilt and fears and uncertainty. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden light." He wants to take your worries away from you. As the Apostle Peter said, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." There are three easy steps to take to enjoy burden-free living, as revealed in Jesus' words in the Gospel of Matthew. Step 1. Come to him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Not come to drugs or alcohol or to some sin or to empty relationships and pursuits or even to our own strength, but come to him, and he promises, "I will give you rest." What do you need rest from today? Psychiatrist Thomas Holmes and Richard Rah's famous stress scale lists life's most stressful events. At the top of the list is the death of a spouse. Number 2 is divorce. Other items on the list include losing a job, illness, moving, debt. What do you need rest from today? Guilt from sin? Jesus has forgiveness for you. Is it fear concerning a problem too big for you? Jesus has unlimited power for you. Do you have difficult decisions to make? Jesus has wisdom for you. Step 1 for burden-free living is to simply come to Jesus. Come to him and come to him daily, and he will give you rest. Step 2. Follow his plan for your life, not anyone else's. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Take his yoke upon you, not your own, not someone else's. The yoke in Jesus' day was the wooden crosspiece put around the neck of an ox to pull a wagon. As a carpenter before he entered his ministry, Jesus would have made these for customers, and he says that the yokes he designed were easy and light. So many of our burdens are self-inflicted. We step out of the way Jesus wants us to live, and before you know it, we have a mess on our hands. Someone has wisely said, "An ounce of obedience is worth a pound of prayer." Not all troubles can be avoided, of course, but many do come from disobeying his plain commands. We step out of his will and end up with a mess we have to do a lot of frantic praying about. What decision are you facing? Be careful to choose God's plan, to take Jesus' yoke. It will lead to the burden-free life he wants you to have. And so to recap our steps for burden-free living, come to him daily, step 1. Follow his plan for your life, step 2. And step 3 for burden-free living is to leave the results up to him. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A pastor in New York City, when counseling people about turning their lives over to Jesus, would take them to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance was a gigantic statue of Atlas holding the world on his shoulders, all his muscles straining, barely able to stand under the load. The pastor would say, "Now that's one way to live, trying to carry the world on your shoulders." Then he would take them across the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral, to a shrine behind the altar where the boy Jesus, 8 or 9 years old, is holding the whole world in one hand with absolutely no effort at all. That, the pastor would say, is the other way to live, letting Jesus carry your burdens for you. That's the privilege you and I have every day, to cast our anxieties on the Lord and let him carry them for us. In other words, after you come to him, after you choose his way, then simply leave the results up to him. He'll take care of the burden for you. You can trust him to work it out. This is the way Jesus lived when he was on earth, trusting his heavenly Father to take care of the details for him. Think about it. The salvation of the whole world depended on Jesus, and he followed his Father's plan. The salvation of the whole world depended on his word being spread, but he never once wrote anything down, nor did he ever say to his apostles, "Is anyone taking notes here? This is important." The salvation of the whole world depended on the formation and spread of his church, but he called a bunch of fishermen and outcasts to get this job done for him. not CEOs or generals or politicians or marketing experts. But you know what? Jesus didn't stress any of this. He left the results in the Father's hands. And you know what? It all got written down. The disciples got the job done. And his word and church have spread all over the world. Leave the results of your life up to the Father as well. The prayers you've prayed, the questions you have, even the mistakes you've made. He can handle it all. Don't let yourself be weighed down with worries and anxieties. That's not God's plan for his children. Enjoy the burden-free life Jesus offers. Come to him. Follow his plan for your life. Leave the results up to him.
Have you ever seen someone who's broken? A broken person is one who's been defeated, overwhelmed, overpowered. It's a sad sight to see a broken man or a woman crushed by life, crushed by tragedy, or crushed by their own mistakes. And the thing about it is, when a person is truly broken, they have given up. There is no hope. However, a believer who has their heart in the Lord can never be broken. You simply cannot break someone who is truly in Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is, Paul said in the book of Philippians, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Meaning if there's a breath in his body, it's because Jesus sustains me. It's because Jesus Christ strengthens me. And if I'm absent from this body, then I am present in eternity with Christ. God will dry your tears. He will be a bridge over troubled water. He will be sunshine on a rainy day. Your strength in the moments that you feel weak. So raise your head and don't slump your shoulders. You're God's child. You have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There ain't a devil that can break you. There isn't a situation that can break you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
The Amplified Translation for Psalm chapter 34, verse 19 says, "Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all." This is really a remarkable passage of Scripture, and it's one that is often overlooked. As Christians, we have not been promised a life free from hardships. We have not been promised a trouble-free life. On the contrary, God has promised to be our rescue. Now, hardship in life can come in many forms. And so long as you are living in this world, trouble and hardships are simply a part of life. I would even say this is the case more so if you are a Christian, because Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18 to 21, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." Now, the question for us is, how do we handle being hated by the world? How do we handle being persecuted by the world? Well, I have one passage of Scripture to help you in this area. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 to 16 says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory in God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. When you suffer because you are a Christian, when you suffer because of your belief in the Lord, be strengthened by the Word of God, because the Bible says you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So let me encourage you and tell you, should you face the hardships of life because you are a Christian, you're blessed, because as you partake in the suffering because of Christ, you will be overjoyed in glory when the Lord returns. You will be rewarded for your faithfulness. And should you face the hardships of life, should you encounter the many afflictions that we all face in life, then we have a promise to hold on to. And that promise is that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Regardless of the type of trouble you face or the form it comes in, so long as you are in the Lord, you will overcome.
Should you need healing, submit to the Lord's will. And if you receive healing, that's wonderful. If you don't, then do not be disheartened, because perhaps there is a purpose for you to go through what you're going through. Have an attitude that says, Lord, whatever your decision may be, I'm going to trust in you. May your will be done. May your will take precedence over my life. Healing is something that we all need in our lives. Physical healing, emotional healing, or mental healing, whatever it may be. Jesus Christ still heals today. He still makes people whole today. Jesus Christ still mends broken hearts. He can divinely rehabilitate you. He can revive the dead things in your life. Jesus Christ can soothe every painful scar in your life. He is the master physician. He's a chief doctor who is able to treat every visible and invisible wound in your life. But here's the key. Here's the key for us. We have to be submitted to His will. Praise Him if He heals you in a sudden and miraculous way. But also praise Him if He doesn't heal you, but instead gives you the grace and strength to endure, the grace and strength to keep going. Regardless, put the Lord's will above your will.
In this very moment, you could be feeling as though you've lost everything. Let me tell you that you haven't, if you're a child of God. You still have Jesus. And Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
You see, God's presence is wonderful. When His presence surrounds you, you're surrounded by pure love. When His presence surrounds you, you're covered in safety, and there's nothing from the enemy that can touch you. In His presence, there is power. So much power that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So much power that there is nothing impossible. It's only in the arms of the Lord that you can find divine strength. It's only in God that you will find strength in your weakness. It's only in Him that you can do all things, because He strengthens you. To fully trust in God, we have to relinquish full control. To put it another way, it's to abandon trust in yourself or another human. You stop trying to fix it yourself, and you allow God. You yield to God. You surrender all control to Him. In all aspects of your life, you need to accept that, in the grand scheme of things, your control is limited. This is why we trust in an almighty God. This is why we trust in an all-powerful God. Because we are limited, but He isn't.
One thing that I've learned is that whenever you push, God will pull you towards Him. And here's what I mean by that. James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Note how the Bible is telling us to take the first steps towards God, and He will draw us to Him. So let's take a look at some examples as to how this can happen. When you push through the distractions of life and pray, when you push through the doubt and hold on to God's word, when you push through the disbelief and cling on to faith, do you not think that the Lord will answer you and hear your prayer? When you push, God pulls you. When you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. It's explicitly said in the Bible. Do you remember the story in Mark 5 of the woman with an issue of blood? The Bible in Mark 5, verse 27 to 29 says, "She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, 'If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed.' Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. When this woman heard about Jesus, she was determined to put her faith into action. It would have been an intimidating task to force and push through the crowd to touch Jesus. People were pressing against him on all sides. She had to push through each of them, hundreds of them perhaps. Many judged this woman, I'm sure. Many sneered. Many tried to block her. Many did all they could to not catch her impurity, I'm sure. And yet, she was determined. She dared to believe that just a touch from Jesus could change what the doctors couldn't. Just one touch from the Lord could change what all her money and all her savings couldn't. So she pushed through and received her healing. The Bible tells us that Daniel prayed and fasted for 3 weeks until God answered him. Imagine the days going by. 3 days of prayer and fasting and no answer. Day 6, no answer. Day 15, no answer. But Daniel pushed through. And so I want to speak to your heart and tell you to keep praying, keep pushing, keep drawing closer to God, and He will draw closer to you. When you push, God pulls. So raise your level of faith and become expectant that something special, something supernatural will happen in your life when you push through that doubt and disbelief. Remember that in the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much.
Now I want us to join together in a short prayer right now. It's a good thing for us to be motivated and inspired to seek God, but we need to pray. So join me for the next few moments as we pray that the Lord would draw us closer to Him as we take the first steps towards Him. Dear Lord Jesus, for the one who hungers, You are the bread of life. For the one who thirsts, You are living water. For the one that is lost and needs guidance, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. For the one who needs a defender, Jesus, You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Father, I pray for every believer under the sound of my voice. Everyone who needs peace, may they know You to be the Prince of Peace. Each person that need comfort, may they know You to be a loving Father. I pray for each person who is seeking to be made whole. Be the one who will mend their hearts and souls. And Father, would you extend your mercy to the one who needs reassurance and needs strength? May they know your word to be true. Your word which says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Thank you for your word, because I know that the Almighty Creator has good thoughts about me. The great I Am thinks thoughts of peace and not of evil towards me. And because of that, I can confidently say, you are my safe place and you are my strong tower. You are my Lord and Savior. I trust in you to be with me always and to never forsake me, as you have promised in your word. Help us to draw nearer to you. You are worthy of our complete devotion, and nothing comes close to the joy of knowing and pursuing you. You are the God who created us, saved us, and sustained us in every single day. In exchange for my heart, you have offered me the gift of eternal life and a fully restored relationship with you, my God. So how could I give my time and attention to anything else? How could I remain on the fence when I have been offered the greatest love of all by you, Jesus? Lord, forgive me for my double-mindedness. Forgive me for all the times I've been lukewarm towards you. Like a fire within me, so that I would burn to serve you. Lord, forgive me for all the times that I've compromised on the things that grieve your heart. Lord, I want to be all in for you. I want to honor and obey you in every part of my life. I want to be filled with faith until no doubt remains. Your word says in Luke 9:62, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." I want to put my hand to the plow and never look back. So give me clarity. Help me to see right as right, wrong as wrong, and sin as sin. No matter what the world says, your word never changes. Help me to hold fast to what is true and to not waver on the things that matter to you. Father, help me to cut off all other masters: wealth, prosperity, popularity. I pray that whatever it is that rules me, whatever it is that has power over me, may you break it if it doesn't please you. I lay it at your feet. Break every chain that is holding me. Take my heart, because it's rightfully yours, King Jesus. As I go through all the highs and lows of life, don't let me become lukewarm. Don't let me become indifferent to your grace and mercy and your perfect plan. Make me a passionate servant in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I know that time is short. At the end of my life, or when you return, I want to be found serving you with all my might, not wasting time on worthless things. Give me the courage to let go of the people and of the things that hinder my walk with you, because you are worth much more than anything in this world. You are my life. Help me to love you above everything else I hold dear. Lord Jesus, I fully devote myself to you now. I desire to serve you only. I surrender my whole life to you. I will no longer set my mind on earthly comfort or pleasure or anything else. Instead, I will live to know you and to make you known to everyone around me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
One thing that my mother would say to me all throughout young adulthood was, "Son, leave it to God." She would often say that about every single problem I shared with her. She'd ask, "Have you prayed about it? Have you looked in God's word concerning it?" If I said yes, her answer would be, "Well, leave it to God." And if you think about it, how many of us try to carry our own burdens when Jesus wants to be our burden bearer? How many of us want to take our problems, our issues and struggles, and try to fix them without so much as prayer offered to the Lord for guidance, for wisdom, or intervention? Leave it to God. What is in your life that you need to take to the cross and trust Jesus concerning it? What is it that you need to leave in God's hands? When I think of leaving my burdens in the hands of God, the story of the Shunammite woman comes to mind. In 2 Kings 4, verse 8 to 37, we're told that the Shunammite woman was a kind and generous woman who lived in the town of Shunem. One day she noticed the prophet Elisha passing through her town. Recognizing him as a man of God, she invited him to her home for a meal. Impressed by her hospitality, Elisha wanted to bless her in return. He promised her that she would have a son within a year, despite her and her husband's old age. True to Elisha's word, the woman gave birth to a son the following year. However, tragedy struck when the boy suddenly fell ill and died. The devastated woman took her son's lifeless body and placed him on Elisha's bed in their home. She immediately set out to find Elisha for help. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Kings 4, verse 25 to 26. After her son had died, the Bible reads, "So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Look, there's the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, "Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child?" And she answered, "All is well." This woman maintained that all is well even after the unthinkable happened. Upon seeing the woman, Elisha sensed her distress and sent his servant Gehazi with his staff to lay it on the boy's face. However, the woman insisted on accompanying Elisha herself. When they arrived at her home, Elisha prayed to God, and miraculously, the boy's life was restored, and he sneezed 7 times, indicating his complete recovery. The story of the Shunammite woman teaches us several important lessons. The woman's generosity and hospitality towards Elisha demonstrated the value of kindness and taking care of others. Her actions led to unexpected blessings in her life. Elisha's prayers and faith in God resulted in the miraculous restoration of the woman's son. This reminds us of the power of prayer and the importance of seeking God's intervention in our lives. But perhaps the most powerful lessons we're taught in her story are the power of trusting in God's promises and the value of taking our burdens to God. Despite her and her husband's old age, the Shunammite woman believed in the promise given by the prophet Elisha. She teaches us the importance of having faith in God's word, even when circumstances seem impossible. And then when tragedy struck, the Shunammite woman immediately sought out Elisha for help. She wasn't seeking Elisha, but rather the God who Elisha served. This teaches us the significance of bringing our problems and concerns to God, knowing that He is able to provide solutions and comfort in times of need. So I encourage you today, whatever situation you find yourself in, take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. In closing, let me remind you that the Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved."
Have you ever had one of those days where it's just a fight? Where everything is a fight?
Your journey to work seems like it's a struggle. You get to work, and it's hostile that day. You go home, and something unexpected happens. You get an unexpected letter or an unexpected bill. Then, next thing you know, there's an unexpected argument with your husband or wife. I mean, have you ever had a day where everything is a struggle? Everything is just a fight. You try to read the word, but that becomes a fight. You try to pray, but that proves to be a fight too. You put some worship music on, but you find that you're still fighting. So in this case, what do you do? Well, I believe that when it appears to be impossible, when life is at its darkest, this is when you should call out to the Lord. David experienced days like this quite often. He must have, because all throughout the Psalms, there is this theme of calling out to the Lord. I mean, think about it. How many times do we read something along the lines of, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help." Or you might read something like, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." Today, dear listener, I want to encourage you to call on the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 12, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Saints of God, there is a name that holds power. There is a name that chases away demonic spirits. There's a name that brings light in the midst of darkness. And that name is Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord wants us to stop worrying, to stop pondering and wondering about what might happen tomorrow. Stop spending your effort and your energy thinking about what could happen tomorrow, or even what should happen. You are blessed in this very moment and on this day. One pastor said, "Don't borrow trouble." And that means don't worry about all the what-ifs that we could face someday. What if there is a health crisis, a financial setback, or even some unimaginable type of problem? Don't borrow trouble for the future, but instead walk by faith and not by sight. So I encourage you today to stay present with the Lord. Stay present in your mind and in your soul. Do that by acknowledging Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it."
But when we let worry and anxiety consume us, it stops being adaptive. It becomes destructive. It becomes enslaving. instead of focusing on God, we focus on all the things that could possibly go wrong, things that we usually have no control over. But there's someone who is in control, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Understand that. The God who made the heavens and the earth is the same God who is watching over us right now. He is intimately involved in every situation. He is infinitely good and infinitely wise. He sees everything that could possibly happen. He sees our worries, and yet He commands us not to fear. He commands us instead to trust Him. He knows what's best for us, even more than we do. And He knows that in the end, Satan will be defeated. Love will conquer all, and the forces of darkness will be no more. See, no matter what's going on in our lives, God is in control. No matter what's going on in the world, God is in control. And whether you understand it or not, God is in control. Nothing is a surprise to Him. Nothing catches Him off guard. God sees the entire timeline of the earth from beginning to the end. God is in control.
I love the verse in Psalms 37 that says, "I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." That's what I call a faith verse. It's one that's meant to strengthen your faith. It's meant to encourage you to keep the faith. When we're struggling, it can be easy to think that God has abandoned us. After all, He has the power to deliver us. With just one word, He could make all our pain go away in an instant. And yet, this is not typically the way that God chooses to work. Sometimes He allows us to go through deep waters before providing a way out. But that doesn't mean He doesn't love us. That doesn't mean He has forsaken us. It simply means He has a better plan, even if we don't understand it.
One of the biggest enemies you will ever face will come in the form of worry and anxiety. And in life, I'm sure we can all agree that there will be some things that are in your control that you'll worry about. There will be things that are out of your control that you will worry about. And while it's so easy to fall into a state of worry, in one of His teachings, Jesus gave us the message that we should not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And I believe that the Lord was telling us to be present in the moment, to be at peace today, to be joyful today. If you spend all your time and energy worrying, then you will always magnify the lack in your life or the pain in your life. Worry is all to do with if. If I can't pay this, if I don't get treated, if they find something. But instead, you should choose to adopt a new attitude where you do not worry about tomorrow. An attitude where you're thanking the Lord for today. You're thanking God for His goodness, even while you're waiting on your miracle. You're thanking God for what He has provided, even though there are things that you lack. When you do this, then you magnify Jesus Christ instead of magnifying your problem. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" The Bible also says in Matthew 6, verse 34, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
A believer in faith will pray and say, God, stand with me in this storm I'm facing. A believer with worry will pray and say, God, what if this storm destroys me? What if it never ends? How come you're not stopping this? But for the person who wants to live their life in the way God intended, you have to decide. You have to make a choice. How will you handle worry? At one point or another, you will face something that will make you worry.
It is wonderful that we are told to cast all your cares on Jesus. Everything that bothers you, cast it to the Lord. Everything that worries or concerns you, cast it all to Jesus. Because he cares for you with the deepest affection. And he watches over you very carefully. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 5, verses 7 through 9, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world.